Okay, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 21, Chapter 8, Text 21. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tata manurvo bhagavan patamaho yameka martya purudakshanai makai ishva pipe de duravapa manyato poman sukham divyam atapavagyam. Suniti informed
her son, "Your grandfather, Swayambhuva Manu, executed great sacrifice with distribution of charity, and thereby, with unflinching faith and devotion, he worshipped and satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead by acting in that way. He achieved the greatest success in material happiness, and afterwards achieve liberation, which is impossible to obtain by worshipping the demigods. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Saksurun Malitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadhantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Kavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadvaita Gadadhar Sivasa Devor Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greeting from Sham Ashram in Kali. You're all invited to come down here. It's just beyond what I can imagine. And it's wonderful, the people that are coming forward in Krishna consciousness. The quality of those people and families and this is really nice here. And I, excuse me, and I gave a lecture on Wednesday, paying, and we had 70 people, which was the most. I mean, that's a lot anywhere, even in New York. I don't get that many people. So, and people from all stratas of society. Om Jnanati Manandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasa Devor Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jimena? One second, I have to just get things straight here. Oh, that's okay. Sometimes when I give the class, I just have to be transcendental to the environment. The router where I'm sitting next to or near is right by the open yoga hall, and they're playing their music or the mood. So, wonderful story here to gain determination. We read the story of Dhruv Maharaj to gain determination. Determination is you set the goal and move heaven and earth to get it. With all the resources at your command. It's one of the main qualities of a Kshatriya. One time, the Prince of the Indian Military Academy, I had met him and preached to him. Now, I don't know, he joined the ashram. He joined the ashram and he showed me a list of qualities that they train their warriors in. And the first qualities were, power qualities, stamina, the ability to undergo prolonged mental and physical duress and determination, set your goal and move heaven and earth to get that goal with all the forces at your command. And it also sets the example for bhakti. There has to be some determination. You have to want it. You have to want it. And bhakti, that's the basis, that we value the goal. That's the challenge. We really value the goal. We have faith. I was listening to some debate between a really amazing theist, very pious guy, and an atheist. And the theist was describing faith. He said the misconception, this is really an important point, the misconception in modern life is that faith is blind faith. No. Faith is trust based on evidence. It's trust based on evidence. Atheism is also faith-based. They can't prove atheism. They believe it. They believe it based on what they think is evidence. And our evidence, more than anything else, is the experience we have in coming to Krishna consciousness and opening our heart and being touched by the pleasure emanating off of the Supreme Lord, whether it's in the form of His name or His deities. That's our evidence. You go to a doctor, what is the evidence that he's an authority? It's how you feel in relationship with that doctor. Anyway, Dhruva he's very determined, and I see we have a regular group here, and now we're at the part where he takes shelter of his mother because he's insulted. He's hurt. He's neglected. And his Kshatriya spirit, his Kshatriya spirit, so powerful. I want now to get a kingdom greater than my father, greater than my grandfather, and greater than my great-grandfather.
So he is, and he goes to his mother, and his mother, she's so devastated when the people in the palace who've seen it told her what happened. She's so devastated. Described she was like a tree burnt in a forest, because when a tree gets burnt in a forest, the first thing is the water comes out, then it dries up. So the tears are pouring out of her eyes, and then she's burning. But because she's Suniti, because she has such good judgment, I have to see if they can put this down. I have to be determined to give these classes when I travel. So she tells him there's no remedy. And this was a really important point. When destiny strikes, there's nothing we can do about it. There's parameters by which we can adjust things. But depending on the rectificatory needs that we have, what comes with it, based on the rectificatory needs we have, the purification comes in different levels of intensity. And often, and you know, it's set, there's very little we can do to adjust it. And the mother sees that. This is the fact. You have an attached father. This is a fact. He's attached to a co-wife who's envious of you. It's a fact. And it's a fact, and there's very little chance for you to sit on your father's lap. And the only thing you can do is worship God. And then she makes that statement, and now she's going to support that statement from the lineage itself by showing how in their lineage, from Swayambhuva Manu, his grandfather, to Lord Brahma, his great-grandfather, people achieve great things by worshiping God. And if you want to achieve great things, you also have to worship God. Tivrena bhakti yogena, but with intensity. It's a little mixed, but it's not just the mood of the worship is, I'm chanting, let me get what you want. No, you're taking shelter of God, a loving shelter of God, knowing that if you take shelter of God, you will be protected and your desires will be met. And that's what it's describing about Swayambhuva Manu. And I see this also. I see when people take full shelter of Krishna, how much they're protected. Full shelter. Krishna is responsive. Those are the three words we like about Krishna. He's responsive. He reciprocates. He reciprocates. And he protects, and he does what's best for us. I'm looking back at my whole life. I had highs and lows, things I liked, things I didn't like. But I can see how everything was best. Because God's perspective, what is best, is an elevation of consciousness, not an accumulation of things. So, and this is one of the main things. I think this story of Dhruva Maharaj was a purport on the verse, Akama Sarva Kama Ova Moksha Kama Udaradi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param. Akama, you have no desire for liberation. Sarva Karma, you have all desire. No. Akama, you have no desire.
a karma sarvaka, you have all desire, moksha karma, you desire liberation, divrena bhakti yogena. If your concentration on the holy name and your practices of devotional service are fixed, practice means concentrated without interruption over a prolonged period of time with the right mood, there's immense value to that. Somehow, our faith is not yet at that level. But it's immense value if you can perform Tivrena Bhakti Yoga. If you can sit in one place and concentrate on the holy name. It's immense power, immense benefit. And his mother says, everything will come from that. Purport, the success of one's life is measured by one's material happiness in this life and liberation in the next. Of course, Prabhupada's not talking here from the ultimate standard of success. But from the general level of propriety, it's dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Your success is your religiosity, the concomitant economic development and enjoyment and a purification of heart and a level of detachment where you can achieve liberation. Everything is for liberation. You know, even in the Vedas, they said if you want to eat meat, then you have to do it in a ritualistic ceremony, not the cow, a particular animal. So what happens is you get the association of the priests. Because it works, you develop faith in the shastras. You get frustrated because material things, they're always better in expectation than when you have them. Always. Because happiness is consciousness. So you're always better. It's always when you... That's the danger of fulfilling your desire to get depressed. If there's not some other component of changing the consciousness. People where I am now, in the southern side of college, it's place is beautiful. City is about 2-3 million. Like we're like, I don't know, Beverly Hills or something. More than that, because behind us is just horse farms. And the people have a certain piety. They have a little economic development. But it's useless unless there's some piety. And people do here have it. They have good faith, most people. But to get material things and not connect them to God by taking the happiness they give you or the peace of mind they should give you to focus on God, then trama eva hi kevalam. Then there's no value to it. That's where we really have to understand that. So when God puts you in a situation to get material things, it's only to frustrate you with material things so that you're forced to take shelter of God. The words, Eka Matya, means concentrating one's mind on the Lord without deviation.
the process of undeviating worship of the Supreme Lord is also expressed in Bhagavad Gita as Ananya Bhava. Sador Eva Samanta. No. Apichetsa Virachane. Vajate Mam Ananya Bhava. Ananya Bhava. Concentration. And that's what practice means. There's no practice without concentration. That's why there's a place for worship, an asana where one sits. I've mentioned this many times. Asana, a place where you sit. That's exclusive for devotion. And when you do that, you get realizations. Remember I mentioned perception is attachment and attitude. Inattention and lack of care won't enable you to perceive something properly. There's so many sounds and so many sights that are not registered in the mind because we don't care about those things. And then we focus our mind. Even think of a friend's house that you've been to many, many times. Can you name the pictures on the wall? Did you see them? Yes. Did you see them? No. They came before your eyes, but without attention, without care, you don't really perceive them. So it's the same thing with spiritual phenomena. You have to concentrate your mind. And when you perceive them, you'll feel them. And you'll have the realization of how great they are. That which is impossible to obtain from any other source is also mentioned here. Durvapam, anyataha, by any other means, very difficult, impossible. Durvapam, impossible. Yeah, so taking shelter of God, he said, you can attain things that otherwise are impossible to obtain. And that even goes for our spiritual practice. Our level of concentration is minimal. But by trying to take shelter of God, we can attain that which normally will be impossible. Which is a high degree of focus, a high degree of meditation. Of course, initially, we won't be so focused, but if we try and we take shelter, we try to focus the mind, there'll be great, great power in that. Other source refers to the worship of the demigods. Because the demigods have limited jurisdiction and God has all jurisdiction. God has all jurisdiction. It's especially stressed here that the opulence of Manu is due to his undeviating faithfulness in the transcendental service of the Lord. Hey, why don't we try it? See what happens. One who diverts his mind to worshiping many demigods to obtain material happiness is considered bereft of intelligence. If anyone wants even material happiness, he can worship the Supreme Lord without deviation. And persons who are desirous of liberation can also worship the Supreme Lord and achieve their goal. So Bhukti and Mukti, it's just like the Ganga. Describes wherever the Ganga flows. There's Bhukti and there's Mukti. There's so much piety by the Ganga. There's so much fertile land by the Ganga. Text 22.
vatsasaya britya vatsalam pramukshabir migya padam padat padabja padatam ananya bhave nijadharma bhavate manasya vatsthapya vajashva purusham. My dear boy, you should take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is very kind to his devotees. Persons seeking liberation from the cycle of birth and death always take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service. Being purified by executing your devotional, your occupation, just situate the Supreme Personality of God in your heart. Without deviating for a moment, engage in his service. So this is interesting and it's very relevant. Is whoever you are, give yourself to God. And almost doesn't matter where you are. Look where Dhruva is. He's angry, he's bitter, he's insulted. He has this this intense desire. And it is, it just says, Nijadharma Bhavate, just execute your allotted occupation. Biggest misconception about spiritual life is that it's renunciation. That was Arjuna's misconception in the Gita. And it's generally the misconception of people. But devotion is different. It's dedication, not renunciation. Because you can be a Mayavadi sannyasi and not have a drop of devotion. And you can be a person situated in the world with your own particular needs and status, and you can be a great devotee. You just give yourself to God fully. And then Vasudeva, Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga, Piyojita, Janayat Yasu Vairagyam. And then naturally you start to becoming detached. Not from the activities, but the conception of possessiveness. Purport, the system of Bhakti Yoga described by Queen Suniti to her son is the standard way of God realization. Everyone can continue in his constitutional occupational duties and at the same time keep the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart. This is also instructed by the Lord himself to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Go on fighting, but keep me within your mind. That should be the motto of every honest person seeking perfection in Krishna consciousness. I'll read that again. Go on fighting, but keep me within your mind. That should be the motto of every honest person seeking perfection in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, you know, when you go to places like Jaipur and you see the congregation of people, you see the congregation of people that are assembled there. And I'm sure they're in their family with their attachments and whatever in their business. But they're so pious. Same when I go in Vrindavan with Gaudiya. And I'm sure people have families, they have their house, they have their things, but they're so pious. They have so much bhakti. Because they're keeping Krishna within their minds. In this connection, Queen Suniti advised her son that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Britya Vatsala, which indicates he's very kind to his devotees. God will protect us if we surrender to him and take shelter of him. There's no question of God without kindness. God is all powerful and God is all kind. If God is not kind, he won't help us. But he does. And if God is not all powerful, he can't, but he does. In this connection, Queen Suniti advised her son, okay, she said, "You came to me crying, having been insulted by your stepmother, but I am unable to do any good for you. But Krishna is so kind to his devotees that if you go to him, then the combined kindness of millions of mothers like me will be surpassed by his affectionate and tender dealings. When everyone else fails to mitigate one's mercy, Krishna is able to help the devotees." And we have to experience this in this lifetime by taking shelter of God. That's why in the days of yore, the sannyasis would travel, giving up their material protective agents. And they would travel. And where they need shelter, there would be a place. They need protection, there's protection. They need food, there's food. And therefore, we have a huge Doberman pincher. We have two. One is named Gajendra, and he's come to hear the class. Okay. Now he's lying down again. But you experience. That was the purpose of sannyas, to have that feeling. To see God's kindness that becomes obscured by our own false ego, where we feel we're the doers. Prakriti kriya manani gunai karmani sarvish ahankara vabhutatma kartaham iti manyate. Manyate, we think that we're the controllers, and we surround ourselves with things that foster that sense. And therefore, although God is providing it, I'm amused by this dog here, excuse me. What's he doing? And we lose that sense of God's protection. That's why even in preaching, it's nice to go to a new place where there's nothing around, where you don't have any facilities. So, because then you'll actually see the protection of God. That's why it's so nice to do one's dharma. That's why it's so nice to do it. When you do what's right, which may not be. All right, Gajendra out. Gajendra out. No potency with this one. Hey, Gajendra out. Get out. 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 Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, they've come to save me in the ashram. Okay, they've come to save me. They shut the dog off of the porch, and he's just going to walk around the other side. Okay. So, when you do what's right, it may not be materially advantageous, but it will be. It will be advantageous, and you'll see the kindness and mercy of God. And that's why we should live simply, and we should live piously, and we should do what's right, and not live simply by material calculations. Because when you live by material calculations, it develops the illusion
that I am the provider and maintainer of myself, and you fail to see and experience that kindness of God, that is the foundation of our devotional sentiments. We have to feel God's love, to have love for God. Or it's certainly an inspiration for it. Queen Kunti also stressed that the process of approaching the Supreme Personality of God is not easy, but is sought after by great sages who are advanced in spiritualization. We went over this point many, many times. It's not easy, because to be guided by something other than our own selfish desires is frightening. To sacrifice what we want for what's right is daunting. But that's what bhakti means. Bhakti means surrender. I trust that the service to God will be the best. Even if it doesn't fit into my scheming material paradigm. Queen Suniti also indicated by her instruction that Dhruva Maharaj was only a small child, 5 years old. And it was not possible for him to purify himself by the way of karmakanda, but by the process of bhakti yoga. Even a child less than 5 years old, or anyone of any age, can be purified. So, again, this is a common point, that it's difficult on a certain point, from the point of heart. But everyone has heart, and everyone can do bhakti. Where gyan is difficult from the platform of material intelligence, material austerity, mode of nature in. So not everyone can do that. That is the special significance of bhakti yoga. Therefore, she advised him not to accept the worship of the demigods or any other process, but simply to take to the Supreme Personality of God, and the result would be all perfection. As soon as one places the Supreme Personality of God with one's heart, everything becomes easy and successful. I repeat that again. As soon as one places the Supreme Personality of God within his heart, within one's heart, everything becomes easy and successful. We have to remember that. We have to surrender. Can't surrender in the past. You can't surrender in the future. You have to surrender now. 23. Nanyam tata padma palasa lochana kuka chidam te migayami kanchana yomidyate hasta grihita padmaya shriyetarai anga indrigyamanaya. My dear Dhruva, as far as I'm concerned, I do not find anyone who can mitigate your distress with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose eyes are like lotus petals. Many demigods, such as Lord Brahma, seek the pleasure of the Goddess of Fortune. The Goddess of Fortune herself, with a lotus flower in her hand, is always ready to render service to the Supreme Lord. So people want opulence, they want wealth, and therefore they seek the pleasure of the Goddess of Fortune, but the Goddess of Fortune herself is ready to serve the Supreme Lord.
And she's reiterating her main point. No one can mitigate your distress except God. And how true that is in so many situations. God doesn't leave us with any other choice because there's sometimes no shelter in the world. Think of someone with a terminal disease. No one can mitigate their distress. Or sometimes an economic condition, or sometimes a relation problem. And no one can mitigate your distress. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he's eternal, he's real, he's immediately accessible, and he's priya, he's very, very dear. Purport, Suniti pointed out herewith that the benediction received from the Supreme Personality of God and that received from the demigods are not on an equal level. Foolish persons say that no matter who one worships, one will get the same result, but that is not an actual fact. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the benedictions received by the demigods are temporary and not are meant for the less intelligent. In other words, because the demigods are all materialistically conditioned souls, although they were situated in very exalted positions, their benedictions cannot be permanent. Permanent benediction is spiritual benediction. Permanent benediction is spiritual benediction. That's why sometimes God takes away material benedictions to give us spiritual benediction. Because sometimes the material benedictions stand in the way. It doesn't have to. It can stand in the way of spiritual benedictions by disconnecting you from the soul. Since the spirit soul is eternal, permanent benediction is spiritual benediction, since the spiritual soul is eternal. It's also said in Bhagavad Gita that only persons who have lost their intelligence go to worship the demigods. Therefore, Suniti told her son that he should not seek the mercy of the demigods, but should directly approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead to mitigate his misery. So let's listen to Prabhupada's purport to finish up the class today. Material opulences are controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead through his different potencies, and specifically the Goddess of Fortune. Therefore, those who are after material opulence seek the pleasure and mercy of the Goddess of Fortune. Even the highly placed demigods worship the Goddess of Fortune. The Goddess of Fortune, Mahalakshmi herself, is always seeking the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyone, therefore, who takes to the worship of the Supreme Lord automatically receives the blessings of the Goddess of Fortune. At this stage of his life, Dhruva Maharaj was seeking material opulences, and his mother advised him rightly that even for material opulences, it's better to worship not the demigods, but the Supreme Lord. Although a pure devotee does not seek benedictions from the Supreme Lord for material advancement, it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that pious persons go to the Lord even for material benediction. A person who goes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for material gain is gradually purified in association with the Supreme Lord, thus he becomes free from all material desires and is elevated to the spiritual platform. So even if you approach God, even if you approach God for material things, by approaching God for material things, you'll become purified. Suniti, the mother of Dhruva, was a far-seeing woman. Therefore, she advised her son to worship the Supreme Lord and no one else. The Lord is described herein as lotus-eyed, padma-palasha-lochanat. When a person is fatigued, if he sees a lotus flower, all his fatigue can be immediately relieved, reduced to nil. Similarly, when an aggrieved person sees the lotus face of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, immediately all his grief is reduced. A lotus flower is also an insignia in the hand of Lord Vishnu, as well as the hand of the Goddess of Fortune. The worshippers of the Goddess of Fortune and Lord Vishnu together are certainly very opulent in all respects, even in material life. The Lord is sometimes described as Shivi Varinshi Nutam, which means that Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma also offer their respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. Okay. Any questions?
Hi, Krishna. Maharaj.
Hi, Bo. Gail, you were able to do the technology today.
Yeah, I don't know why. I especially liked your the point that I kind of gleaned from you when you said that something like our evidence is our experience, because normally you think of evidence as things that you gain through your senses, but the experience counts as evidence too, and I think that it's not normally thought of like that.
Interesting, isn't it? Yeah, the heart is also an experience, spiritual experience is real. It's real. Yeah.
Because you cannot.
It's not exactly. It's not. Go ahead.
Because
what are you saying?
You cannot present it to someone else and say, here, look, It doesn't seem like.
Right,
evidence.
Right. Right, right. Yeah.
And so I really appreciate
right,
it.
Right, yeah.
Anyway,
I was listening.
Today was another class so many nice points. Thank you.
Thank you. You encouraged me, and somehow the technology worked here. Gail, we will get my place in, I'm pretty sure we'll get our place in Manhattan. Not Manhattan. We'll get our place in
Brooklyn.
Yeah, we'll get it. I'm hoping today. The people are there now looking at the final two places. I'll let you know. And then, because next week I'll start the Sikshastakam. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Gumaraj. This is Kishori.
I'm Priya. Hi, Kishore.
Priya, hi, Krishna. Priya, I went to Antonia's house yesterday, the girl that you have the pen pal with.
Uh-huh.
And they sat with me and their family, and I asked them questions, and she's also quite philosophically inclined. It was nice. Good.
Mm.
Okay. Kishori, maybe you and Priya can come down here one day. You'd really have a great time. Yeah, okay.
Sounds really nice.
Anybody? It is. You can't go every place, right? Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
A wonderful class, Robert. Thank you.
Henry, when I get back to the States, we'll catch up. I'll give you a call. Okay. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Brajaraja.
Okay. You also, I should know by a few days what my schedule is. And we'll come over there. I'm looking forward to that. Anybody else say hello?
Okay. Joseph says hello to Maharaj. He didn't listen to the class.
Oh, God. My respects to Joseph.
He said, hi, Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay. I'm going to make a joke, and I say all glories to Rodney Dangerfield. Okay, anyway, joking. Okay.
Okay, dear, bye-bye. That wasn't for you, that was for him. I'm catching my train.
Okay, you like my joke, even though everybody else on here is completely bewildered what's happening. So we'll go on. Anybody else? Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we'll end on that high note.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Malati.
Malati, hi, Bo. I can't wait to meet you and see your child. We'll have to do that soon. We'll figure it out.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That'd be wonderful, Maharaj. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.